a faster, easier way to clean your bathtub and kitchen sink, change to Babbo, the amazing cleaner that dissolves grease. The makers of Babbo present Laura Lawton. The story of what it means to be the wife of one of the richest, most attractive men in all America. The story of the conflict between love and riches in a world so many dream of, but where so few dreams come true. Ladies, if you're now using an ordinary scour and scrub cleanser, please let me tell you how you can make tomorrow's work much easier. Just go out today and get a can of the modern speed cleaner Babbo, B-A-B-O. For you see, it's a fact that 90% of your daily scouring is caused by grease. And Babbo was specifically created to dissolve grease. With grease gone, dirt and stubborn stains wiped gently off. You're through with astonishing speed. Try it. Start cleaning the easy way with economical grease-dissolving Babbo. Get two cans, one for the bathroom, one for the kitchen. And now, Laura Lawton. Laura's sitting beside her husband's bed in a hospital in Washington, holding his hand, watching his face relaxed in sleep, free from the bewilderment and fright that his illness causes him when he's conscious. While outside his room, Daniel J.J. Chubb, Laura's valued friend and legal advisor, is saying to a newspaper reporter,
Now, my boy, the thing we want to do is publish the truth, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And that's why we chose to have one of you fellows represent all of you, so that you'll all have the same story.
In other words, this is your story and you'll stick to it.
Son, let's not start off on a difficult footing, eh? This is a fairly serious business.
Well, I'd say it was. Woman found dead in a fishing cabin. Peter Carver in the room with her, his wife, and another man on the scene.
All the elements of a nasty scandal.
Well, let's say it doesn't add up to Chapter 1 of Little Women, Mr. Chubb.
No, it doesn't. It adds up to a tragedy of no mean proportions, my boy. Now then, my name is Daniel J.J. Chubb.
Look, sir, I know who you are. We've got a mile and a half of stuff on you in the morgue of every newspaper in the country.
All right.
Add this to it.
I am financial advisor to Carver Shipyard. And a very good friend of Peter Carver and his wife.
Does Mrs. Carver wish to be known as Mrs. Carver or as Laura Lawton?
I don't think it's important.
Now, the story is that Carver is ill and then did this thing.
If he did this thing.
In a frenzy, which is characteristic of his illness.
You have to talk about Mrs. Harris's death.
We can't overlook it, sir. She is dead. What I'd like to have is something about her.
Have you talked with Bert Harris, her husband?
He's prostrate. He's in the home with relatives.
Oh, I see.
How old is she? Was she? Somebody said around 40. That seems pretty silly.
Well, she was about that.
Well, Carver is only...
Well, it wasn't a love feud, my dear man. Let me tell you what happened.
Just what I want to know.
And none of it is for publication. Sorry, but you can have the story only on that basis. We are keeping nothing from the public that the public should know.
That would be for my chief to decide, sir.
I think he'll agree. All right, here we are. Peter Carver is a very sick man. His illness requires brain surgery. And until an operation is performed, his mind is not normal. His behavior, he's not responsible.
Insanity, please?
His wife, Laura Lawton, has done everything in her power to have him undergo the necessary surgery. Without his consent, it cannot be done. A misguided friend took it upon himself to spirit Mr. Carver out of the hospital some weeks ago and secrete him in his summer cabin, where he was taken care of by the man's wife.
Harris.
Bert Harris is the friend. Bert Harris's wife... The dead woman.
I see.
By dint of much effort and detective work, Mr. Carver was located in the cabin. He was found, unfortunately...
Right after he had killed the woman.
He was found under unfortunate circumstances. Mr. Carver is not able to account for what happened. There were no witnesses. It remains for much investigation to be done. That's all.
What can I print of this, Mr. Chubb?
Nothing for a few days.
Why?
Isn't going to accomplish anything.
Why, I'd have to print something.
I suppose you do.
Now look, sir, I know Peter Carver. I've had dealings with him. He's a very good guy.
Then?
I know Miss Lawton, too. I had to interview her a couple of times when Carver was going back and forth during the war. You know, the usual thing. They're good people. I don't want to hurt
them.
Here he is, Laura.
Can I talk to Mrs. Coffin's shop?
Certainly not.
Daniel, I beg your pardon. How do you do? Your name is Mason, isn't it?
Yes, Mrs. Carver.
I remember you, Mr. Mason. You interviewed Peter and me at a ship launching a long time ago.
That's right.
And you were very kind. I was so afraid I was going to miss hitting the boat with the christening bottle, but you were very encouraging.
Fine ship, Mrs. Carver.
It was a typical Carver ship.
And Laura, I'm going to talk with this chap just a little longer.
About Peter?
Yes.
Mrs. Carver.
Yes?
You are not to interview Mrs. Carver.
Daniel, you can't do that. We can't be protected any more than anyone else. Who are Peter and I to have all this kept from the newspapers?
Laura.
She's right, Mr. Chubb. When the story does come out, it isn't going to look very good for anyone.
We have nothing to hide, Daniel. And Peter is very sick. What do you want to know, Mr. Mason?
There's no love angle to this, is there, Mrs. Carver?
That's an insulting question.
No, I don't mean to be insulting, Mrs. Carver.
I know. Mr. Mason, this whole thing is a dreadful tragedy caused by Mr. Carver's illness. Now he can be cured with an operation, that we know. The tragedy is that he was taken away from the hospital by someone who thought he was doing the right thing and was doing something dreadful. And then the rest, I think you know.
Do you think he killed the woman, Mrs. Carver?
Are you asking from curiosity or because it's important to the story?
I guess it was curiosity. I'm sorry. Look, I've got plenty. I won't bother you anymore.
You know what I told you about your chief and that story, my boy.
Don't worry, Mr. Chubb. Goodbye. Thanks, Mrs. Carver, and good luck.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mason.
You don't need me around, Laura.
Did I hurt your feelings, Daniel? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No, you certainly didn't, but you handled that job very nicely. There won't be a bad story. I know it.
Oh, we have no right to expect that there won't be some kind of a story. That would be ridiculous.
Yes, I suppose it would be.
And we must just see to it that we're fair with the newspapers so that they'll be fair with us.
Good sense at a time like this, Laura. You're a fine young woman.
I don't know. I don't know, Daniel, if I'm fine or not. I sat beside Peter just now, holding his hand, looking at him, wondering if there wasn't some way I could run away with him, take him away and hide him, protect him from this.
That's a perfectly natural impulse, Laura.
Daniel, what are we going to do? He's absolutely unaware of what happened. He doesn't remember anything.
Laura.
He doesn't remember killing Bessie Harris. He doesn't remember our coming to the cabin and seeing him standing there with the hammer in his hand. Daniel, it's as if we just brought him to the hospital for the first time. He doesn't remember any of that.
That, too, is not an illogical process, Laura. The shock of the whole thing.
I look at him and wonder why he must ever know. Because he was two people. The mad, uncontrolled person who killed Bessie Harris and who hated me, who was distrustful and resentful, and the person he is now. My dear, loving, gentle Peter.
Laura, Laura. Through all this, up until now, I thought you had had your cup of sorrow. It's overflowing now. Too much.
Daniel, what are we going to do? There are detectives on the floor, you know. He's under constant surveillance. He's to be questioned this afternoon. Oh, you know all that. What am I telling it to you again for?
It may help you to talk about it all, Laura. You've got to find help somewhere, child.
I can't bear it if they badger him, And that's so dreadful, Daniel. He's killed a woman. He killed Bessie Harris. And in all honesty and justice, I shouldn't try to protect him. Daniel, I think I'm going out of my mind. I think I am going out of my mind.
And while Mr. Chubb tries to comfort Laura, Dr. Alec Mercer is in his office talking with an inspector from the police department.
You understand, Dr. Mercer, that we can be sympathetic, tolerant up to a point. But the facts remain, and they're pretty ugly facts.
Absolutely, Inspector. However, we did want this amount of time so that Mr. Carver would at least have the physical benefit of rest and sleep, knowing what a terrific mental and emotional strain's in store for him.
Now, before I go in to see him, incidentally, it's all right for you to be there. All we're trying to do is put together some facts.
Yes, Inspector.
Now, tell me this. The Harris woman, she had no claim on Peter Carver, did she? There's no way all this
Inspector, Bessie Harris played the role of housekeeper. Evidently, she was working hand in glove with her husband to keep Peter Carver there.
And in trying to escape, he... That's strange what a complete change will come over a man. I've known Carver. He'd be the last person in the world you'd term a homicidal maniac.
Right.
This can't be very pleasant for his wife.
And it isn't.
Now then, you say he's forgotten everything that happened.
Everything. He thinks he was brought into the hospital just a few days ago. What's happened in the interim to Peter Carver just didn't happen, that's all.
Ah.
He doesn't remember Harris, the cabin, Mrs. Harris, anything.
Astonishing.
He's as near to his own personality as he's been during his whole illness. I don't know. I simply don't know.
Well, there probably won't be any trial on all this. Just go to the grand jury and be settled there. It's not as if there were any doubt.
He'll be confined somewhere?
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of Peter Carver. Tell me, Inspector, what's the legal situation? Suppose we operate on him, cure him completely.
I'm not a lawyer, Dr. Mercer. I'm a policeman. I want to question him now. Do you mind?
Dr. Mercer ushers the police inspector into Peter's room. And as she watches, a new prayer is breathed by Laura Lawton. Now, every one of you ladies who do your own household scouring and cleaning, listen to this letter from Mrs. Dorothy Shulman of Chicago, Illinois. Mrs. Shulman writes, quote, "This is an unsolicited letter of appreciation to say thank you for the finest cleaner on the market, Babbo. I've tried many cleansers, but I've never found one which could equal Babbo for sheer efficiency. Babbo really does dissolve grease faster. Thanks to Babbo for easier cleaning," unquote. And thank you, Mrs. Shulman, for your interesting letter. Now, ladies, letters such as Mrs. Shulman's offer more proof of why you should try Babbo for cleaning your pots and pans, bathroom and kitchen fixtures. You, too, will say Babbo cleans easier, faster, saving you needless heavy scouring, saving you precious time for extra leisure. And here's why Babbo is different from ordinary lazy cleansers. Today, 90% of your daily scouring is caused by one thing, grease. Yes, it's grease that holds dirt to surfaces. And Babbo was specifically designed to dissolve grease. So you can see with grease dissolved, dirt and stubborn stains wipe gently off on your cloth. It's thorough, it's easy. You're through with record speed. Try Babbo and discover the easier, faster way to clean. At your grocer's, look for the famous green can with the big white letters B-A-B-O, Babbo. To save extra steps, get two cans, one for the bathroom, one for the kitchen. From the original radio play by Ann Hummert and produced under her supervision. Dialogue by Elizabeth Todd. Ned Weaver plays Peter and Jan Miner plays Laura. Laura Lawton will be on the air at the same time tomorrow. Ward Bond speaking and asking you to remember that Laura Lawton is brought to you by Babbo, the grease-dissolving cleaner. Tune in tomorrow. And until then, keep kitchen and bathroom spotless the fast, easy way with Babbo, B-A-B-O.
Hog-raisers, to market more fine pork, have extra cash in the bank, adopt this low-cost way farmers everywhere use. Simply use Lycon's. Use it to sanitize pens, troughs, to help control disease, to sweeten the swill, aid digestion, so hogs grow heavier, sturdier, so you can realize bigger profits. Buy it at your grocery or general store. Lycon's, L-Y-C-O-N-S.
This This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.